Good evening and good morning. You're listening to St. Paul's Unseen Dimension, and my name is Tom. It's 12:57 a.m. on Monday, the 29th of March. It's been a character-building day. I've spent the last 6 to 7 hours fighting technology, trying to get a website up and running, also trying to get my podcast recorded, and I've been fighting technology there and fighting both of my pets because they can't seem to leave me alone or stop making noise or stop attacking the television or stop attacking the stuff that I'm working with, like the microphone. I should probably put cameras in my studio so that way everyone could watch the chaos that is brought to me by these animals, and it would probably be a lot more entertaining than what I'm doing right now. It's been an interesting week. I have gotten some business cards from Vistaprint. God love their customer service. They do have some fantastic customer service, but they need to change some of the English that they use on the cards that they are selling or the products they're selling, because I would have sworn on a stack of Bibles that what I ordered should have been what I got, but it wasn't. And I got these business cards that if you turn them a certain way, everything just disappears. If you want it to look like you're like some kind of netherworldly creature, these cards would be ideal for that. It'd be like disappearing ink kind of stuff, you know. And man of mystery, look at that. I have a business card and it's gone. You can't read anything on it. And especially in low light. And then there's, of course, the small print that you can't even detect. So anyway, they are sending me out a new batch of business cards, so that's going to be kind of nice. Got a lot of good stuff happening, and got a lot of crazy stuff happening. But it's all manageable. It's just life stuff. So anyway, I've been talking to people about what I'm doing with the website, the podcast. Got some stuff in the pipeline that's pretty neat. And once people started listening to the podcast, that's when people started kind of leaving my sphere. And I think when you talk about the paranormal, there's a comfort zone that people have. And I think that when they don't know you, or when they are like not in your circle, and they read about it or they hear about it, there's a definite border or boundary that stuff doesn't enter their lives through, you know, because when you're talking to strangers, or if you're dealing with strangers, and you know, you're like, oh, well, that's really interesting, and then, you know, you can separate that out and dismiss it because it's from a stranger. But when someone you know or you've known for years says, hey, you know, I saw something weird once, or there's something weird in my house, like what I got going on, people tend to kind of go, hey, you know, I need to put up a wall because I don't want that nonsense entering into my life. And believe me, I completely understand. I wouldn't want to go camping with me either if I knew somebody was an alien abductee and they had like a propensity for being abducted. That would be the last person to go camping with, at least from my perspective. I'd be like, you know, I don't like going to the doctor very much, and I don't like people bad touching me, and I certainly don't want to be waking up to a bright light in the sky and having a tractor beam lift me up out of my sleeping bag in my tent, and then, you know, be, you know, dumping out. Let's just say that it would be some uncomfortable nudity that I'm trying to avoid with the camping thing with alien abduction. I wouldn't blame anyone for putting up a border or a boundary. That makes perfect sense. You talk about Bigfoot. I've never seen Bigfoot. I don't know anything about it, but I've read enough stories to where that's something I would absolutely avoid too. If you're a Bigfoot experiencer and you want to go camping with me, you will be the last person in my circle of friends that I would ever, I wouldn't even go fishing with you if you had seen Bigfoot a number of times. Mostly because Bigfoot is scary. And aliens, not so much. Mostly because I think if I had to throw down with one of them, I could probably take them and maybe pilot their ship. I mean, it can't be hard. It can't be that hard to read alien hieroglyphics. I've tried. I have terrible handwriting. But Bigfoot, that one, oh, I remember watching The $6 Million Man when I was a kid, and then just absolutely terrified of this Bigfoot, you know, beating the crap out of Steve Austin. And then Steve Austin ripped his arm off, and it was like, oh my God, Bigfoot's a robot. And then that just made it worse. It didn't make it any better. You know, it just made it worse. And then, of course, you know, it's a TV show, and when you're a kid growing up, it leaves an indelible mark. You know, it really does. Land of the Lost, that show left a mark. And I'll go into that on another podcast. Or maybe I'll just circle back and talk about it because it's funny. that kind of mark. But, yeah, there's like a lot of different things that people will build up walls about, especially when you're talking about the paranormal, ghosts and demons especially. Those things are actually quite frightening too. Because ghosts being haunted or having a haunting of some kind, I take that as being, there's an event, like some energy that's trapped, like in a cycle, and, or maybe, this would be a better way of explaining it. If time is linear, then it's like kind of like a roll of tape, especially since there's no ending to it. You know, it just keeps going on and on and on. And what if, like any roll of tape, there are thin spots, you know, between the layers, and you're on one layer, and then there's like some space, and then there's the other side, you know, and there's like all of these little thin spots align. And then you kind of see the general shape of something, but it's, you know, you really can't interact. You kind of can, but you kind of can't. That, to me, makes sense. Demons, on the other hand, and devils and that sort of thing, that stuff is terrifying from the standpoint that those things, there is no separation. They can inhabit a person, or they can inhabit a place, or they can inhabit some physical form and wreak havoc on your life. And I can understand if, you know, if somebody had been, you know, I had an exorcism back in 1976, that would be another person that would not be coming over for dinner or for coffee. That would be, you know, that would be one of those things where it's like, you know, no. As much as I might like you as a person, I can't have you bringing that nonsense into my little life. Because I got enough, I have enough exes that out there in the world that hell is empty. No, I'm just kidding. That's not even remotely true. Most of the people that that have been in my life and have walked out of my life, I bid them. I have no ill will towards them. Mostly because they probably had plenty of reason to walk away. Not because I was weird or I'd been abducted by aliens or, you know, any of those other things. You know, they probably had their own reasons, and I would never be intellectually dishonest enough to say, you know, it's all their fault. No. And if you have a relationship that goes south and you don't see any other reasons for it, chances are it's you. So that's the way you should conduct yourself in those sorts of things. Which is why, you know, when people started kind of being a little weird to me, I just simply accepted the fact that, hey, it's not them, it's definitely me. And I'm okay with that. I've gotten really good about not having a lot of people in my life. And I've been fantastic with regards to keeping my circle very small. And everyone should, you know, I mean, everyone should have at least one or two good friends, and that way you've got at least six is what you really need in case you die and you need like pallbearers. Six people that care about you. And if you're fat like me, you definitely want six big people that are very strong, that have no underlying health conditions that might die before you. You want to be the one that dies first, because that way you can be probably well taken care of and hauled to, you know, your grave by stronger people, and not be dumped out on the ground by accident. That is my greatest fear, having to be carried by people who know me, and all that will be left will be very, very small people that have no upper body strength. It's one of the most terrifying things that I have going right now. That and short people with black eyes. Not dark brown eyes, I'm talking about black eyes, like the back. Black-eyed children, that's another thing that I'd just be like, oh, you've got children with black eyes that have followed you? Oh, you're definitely not coming to my house. You're just going to stay right there. There's a lot of the paranormal things that I think that raise my hackles. And I was talking to some people about this. And then I, of course, you know, I got to this idea that the things that you never really hear about in paranormal talks at all, you never really hear about things like, you know, when I was abducted by aliens, they said, you know, you need to lose some weight. Because the laws of physics are different here, and it requires a lot of energy to power that tractor beam and haul your butt out of your bed. I mean, my God, we just made a dent in your roof. You know, you're too heavy. You'll never see anybody say that on any of these documentaries. You know, the aliens, they just came for me, and they used me to create an alien hybrid race of disproportionately fat aliens. You will never hear those words spoken on the History Channel or any of the other documentary channels. You know, it's, you would think that, though. You would think to be like, yes, they abducted me because I had a lot of body fat, and they needed that genetic trait so that way they could travel further into space and, you know, hoard calories while they were in cryostasis. Their bodies could keep feeding themselves instead of having a bunch of tubes rammed in their butt. You know, you'll never hear stuff like that on these channels. More in line, and then, you know, there's a lot of these things that I have pondered over the last 24 to 48 hours about the things that are conspicuously absent from documentaries. You never get to the truth. You never find out what they really know. You just have like all this open speculation, you know, and I don't fault them for it, because I think that there's a certain amount of liability that comes with broadcasting, that you're telling people that, hey, yes, we definitely know that the aliens are here. You know, there's a certain amount of people that will get frightened from that. I don't know who, but I'm sure there's some. I think that when War of the Worlds happened, that radio broadcast with Orson Welles, I actually believe it was some kind of psyop, that at that point, like maybe the OSS or something, you know, some other nebulous agency that had been, you know, created, was wanting to see what it was going to be like. How would the human race respond to an alien invasion? And people lost their minds. And it was because they heard it on the radio. And I think a lot of folks, when they hear things on the radio, or they see things on television, or they read things on the internet, they immediately believe that it's 100% true. I know that I am willing to believe the most absurd things if I see it in print. I absolutely will. And the reason why that is because I love things that are weird and stupid. It's a form of validation. The reason why people lose their minds when, you know, they see stuff on TV and, oh my God, is because I think a lot of folks like to get bent out of shape and overly emotional when something is a permission slip to do so. And I think that I think over the last, 12, 13 years, I've seen a lot of stuff where a lot of that kind of thing was going on. Because right now there's a lot of information coming out that the CIA has downed alien spacecraft, they have downed alien technology, and we have all of these folks that are trying to normalize that sort of thing. And full disclosure, I don't know if we'll actually ever get that, but I think even if we did, would it really be enough? Would people really be satisfied with that? Because we'd only get the cliff notes. We would never find out whether or not Earth has been, you know, a playground for aliens. For all we know, we could be like that, you know, like that fifth grade science experiment, you know, and that's the reason why you have these aliens come down here. They, you know, they mutilate cows and they leave us with a lot of questions. You know, if only a human being could say to these aliens that are doing these things, you know, there's some better parts of the cow that taste really good if you cook it. You know, it's like, you know, you eat steaks and prime rib. These parts of the cow are very tasty. And despite the fact that you may or may not have any teeth, you might want to try it. You know, you might want to, instead of, you know, just take the whole cow. Let us worry about, you know, a missing cow. Oh, man, my cow's been stolen. That's much better than, you know, we're just going to take what we want and leave the rest. That's terrifying. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff serial killers do. I mean, that in of itself, that's why it's so terrifying. Because, you know, when you talk about these things, especially in law enforcement, from law enforcement perspective, you know, if they found human beings the way that they find cows, oh man, you know, people lose their basket. And oddly enough, that's happened a number of times over the last, you know, 60, 70 years. There's a guy named Todd Sees, S-E-E-S. Look him up on the internet. That guy, yeah, he went to go scout some deer tracks, and then they found him, you know, only in his underwear, and he'd been done up like a cow mutilation. And of course, there's a lot of stuff behind that story that's just not right. And a guy named Butch Witkowski did a big expose on it, and he actually, I think, maybe even wrote a book about it. And even now, you know, I'm talking like 17 years later, 18 years later, nobody can speak the truth about it. So I completely understand why everyone who's in my circle, or just peripherally in my circle, I can understand why they would listen to a podcast and go, oh, hey, that's a little unusual. And I'm okay. You know, it's okay. You put up your borders and boundaries, and you show me that you need those, and that's fine. And I will show you that, you know, I won't think any less of you. Anyway, I'd like to think that when the paranormal happens to other people, that their first idea in their minds is to try to understand it objectively and look at it objectively. Just because a door opens or shuts doesn't mean that you've got a ghost in your house. If you're banging in your house and you don't know where it comes from, it may or may not be a ghost. You see a light in the sky, it could be glint off of an aircraft, or it could be any one number of things. It may not be a flying saucer full of aliens. Or if you're out in the woods and you see a shape, that's hiding behind a tree that smells like, you know, urine. It could just be a bear and not Sasquatch. Or if you have people show up at your door and they're wearing black suits and they have pale white skin and have painted lipstick on their face to try to make them look a little more human, they may not be men in black, they just may be Mormons. I don't know. What I do know is this, is that there's a certain amount of objectivity that people need to have when they hear about the paranormal, especially when the person that they're hearing it from is someone that they actually know. Because I think the first thing that people think of this person is obviously full of crap. And I, you know, I've heard enough of the UFO stuff to know who is and who is not genuine in their beliefs. Because I've done some work for some folks that tried to sell me a bill of goods, and they were absolutely dishonest. And after you have a few of those experiences, you learn pretty quickly how to detect it. And I'm not saying that I have any apprehensions about it. I'm saying that I listen to people, and I'm very objective when I listen to them. Because just because I didn't experience it, just because I didn't see it or wasn't there or maybe if I don't even know this person very well, sometimes you can really tell what a person has experienced by how they talk, how they act, their mannerisms, all of that. We all have this reality that's a little bit unique. So I'm not quick to dismiss anyone. Unless my radar for it goes off, then I'll be like, oh, whatever, you know. But I generally, as a rule, will listen to people and not judge. Because, I mean, there are things in this world that nobody can explain. I think that's the reason why that I decided to start doing this podcast, because there are things that I'm trying to explore and trying to find the truth of. I would love to know more about this universe, but I'd like that knowledge to be unfiltered, not the knowledge that I'm allowed to have. I want to have the real knowledge. You know, if I knew how to flag down a UFO and say, hey, look, I'd like to really have a conversation with you without, you know, you tasing me and taking me on board and doing stuff to me. I'd just like to talk to you like like another person, like another civilized creature, without you thinking that you can just do whatever you want. That would be a more meaningful way of addressing the whole idea that extraterrestrials exist. That's why it's frightening for most people, because they usually don't have a say in it. You'd be just driving along down the road. Betty and Barney Hill. That was like the big alien abduction story back, I think it was like in the 1950s, 1960s. And it was an interracial couple. They lovely folks. Driving down the road, and they saw light in the sky. They had a period of missing time. They woke up with some scarring. They had some horrible nightmares. They went and had, I guess, what was called hypnotic regression done, and unearthed a ton of memories. And then, actually, her dress, they actually did a forensic examination of it. They found stuff on it that they couldn't explain. And there was just a lot of interesting stuff tied to that case. And, of course, you know, they're both deceased now, and I think even their children are deceased. The really amazing thing about all of that stuff, and the reason why that it is so frightening to a lot of folks, is because you're absolutely powerless in the face of, you know, very small people that have technology and abilities far beyond what we can understand. That's the reason why everyone puts up boundaries and borders. Because it's like the paranormal. You don't have a say in it. So, I don't know. I think, and so by being able to just construct these borders so quickly, then they feel like they can have a say in it until something happens to them. And then when that does, then it's like, oh, you know, I don't have the ability to defend myself at all. So I've heard a lot of folks recently talking about a lot of this science fiction stuff with regards to, you know, the aliens and CIA and all of these various stories and civilization visitations from, you know, aliens and stuff like that. And I think there's a place for all of it, and I think that it's interesting. But I'm not convinced that it's genuine. I mean, the stuff you see on TV, I think it's a lot of busy work to make you think that people are actually doing something. They're not. You know, I don't know how many episodes I've watched of UFO Hunters while these guys were trying to scientifically prove that something happened and they never did. And there's only so many of those episodes that you can see before you finally just throw your hands up in the air and start screaming. It's like, look, you guys are just milking it. You guys are drawing a paycheck, creating in entertainment. Show me some aliens. With all that money that you're getting paid, with all of the cameras that are on everybody's cell phones right now, with all of the stuff going on in the world, there isn't any space on the face of this earth that isn't being looked at without a camera. I mean, it's just like we've got satellites every day, you know, beaming information down, up and down. And we have all of this stuff surveilling every facet of our lives. And the idea that we can't get any, you know, evidence of any kind, it's laughable. So it means that one of two things is true. Aliens are just a fantasy, and we don't have any of that stuff going on. Or the technology that they have is so good, they can just poof, disappear, and never be seen, never be heard from again after they've done whatever they need to do. Which is why I'm hoping that once I get moved to where I want to move to, that I have such a broad open sky that I can actually see some of these things. It'd be really nice to be able to look up at the night sky and maybe, I don't know, flag one of these guys down. But that's a fantasy. You know, that's a fantasy. Aliens just don't show up because you've got friendly intentions and you got tacos. You know, if that was the case, believe me, I'd have already left this planet a long time ago on somebody's ship. Because this planet sometimes is just, I don't know. It's an unfriendly place. And it's too small for people to be angry and to hold such grudges. And the universe is such a big place that we shouldn't be carrying that stuff out there anyway. But I guess that's the mindset I have, and that may not be the same as everyone else's, but it's mine. That's my belief. So anyway, we're going to take a break. We're at the halfway mark because this is an hour show. Going to try to tighten it up a little bit, and we'll come back. So I had this idea that I was going to probably just do some kind of stream of consciousness, linking ideas to each other, but I think I'm gonna take a hard turn here and talk about psychic phenomena. I'm not gonna make any claims that I have any ability, because That would basically open myself up to everyone and their brother wanting to test me, and then I'd just be foolish. I would look foolish. I think that there are days where I feel like I'm a little more connected, where I'm a little more on my game, a little bit better at seeing what's coming. So I was watching a couple of different documentaries about remote viewing, and I have to say that when people start doing documentaries and they have these folks on that are, I guess, gifted psychics, and you never really get any answers and you don't find anything, it kind of makes... it makes the whole thing look rather silly and a little foolish. There are some people, I think, that have incredible gifts. Not that I've met any. I'll be honest with you, I haven't met anyone that has any psychic ability. None. I have not met one person that I can point to and say, look, if you were to take a Zenner card test, would they do better than average? No, I don't know anybody like that. There are times where I have been, I want to say warned. Like I heard something in my mind. It was one time I was at an intersection. Light turned green for me. And... all I could hear in my head was, wait. And this car came flying by, and this guy looked at me. As he blew through that light, just looked right at me. And because he was driving a convertible that day, and I was driving a Saturn View, and I sat there with this person in my car, and they were like, why aren't you going? I said, hold on. And this car came flying by, probably doing 55 miles an hour in a 30. Actually, I think it was 25 because it was residential. And it was at that moment that I thought, where the hell did that come from? And I started to think about, you know, perhaps psychic ability isn't really psychic ability in the conventional sense. Like, you know, I'm not going to be one of those people that can take a piece of paper and draw you a picture of something that is at a certain GPS coordinate. Nor am I going to be able to pick the lottery numbers, see the future, and with, you know, with that kind of clarity. But I think from moment to moment, I think that people have the ability to know when something's not quite right. And I think that because it ties into the whole, I'm gonna go round robin here, and this is gonna get complicated, so you have to bear with me. There was an article about how how their eyes and their brain work, and how your brain is actually seeing the future. You know, in order to make your body work with your brain, with your eyes, your brain actually has to kind of see into the future so that way you can react accordingly. You move your body the way you're supposed to. Otherwise, you'd be seconds behind or something like that, or milliseconds behind, just enough to where you would trip over and fall over stuff if you weren't careful. Now, it's not that I don't see enough clumsy people in the world, but I thought maybe that is where some of that psychic ability might come from. Like maybe that part of their brain is just a little bit more developed. Because in the instances that something strange was going to happen, it was like, you know, it wasn't like days in advance. It was like moments. And when that car blew through that intersection, I'm going to tell you, I was just like relieved that I didn't pull out when the light was green and then get T-boned by this guy or cause him to, you know, squeal tires and slam on his brakes and stuff. There was another time, though, a friend of mine lost her car. And I, on a whim, found her car for her. Now, truthfully, I would say it was just pretty much just luck. Basically, what it did was it basically did a spiral with my car trying to find where she was when she got lost. And it wasn't that hard, just to do a spiral as you spiral in, and then all of a sudden you're there, you find the car. It's not one of those things where, excuse me, it's not one of those things where you just, like, it's on the corner of, I see it, it's a red car, it's, you know, it's not like that. It's just, you know, you get these feelings. You know, it's like, okay, well, if I was a car and I was left because I got drunk and stupid and couldn't find my car, I'm not saying this person was drunk and stupid or how that's how they lost their car. I'm saying that where they parked, it would be very easy to get lost because all of the blocks in that area look the same. You could turn around pretty easy. But once I figured out, you know, it's like, okay, well, just do a spiral. You'll find it. I've had moments where I knew where I was with someone. You just feel like a certain kind of connection, you know, and I think people have that. I think that's what they call the collective unconscious of humanity. We're all kind of tied in that way. I think with psychic phenomena, though, and I've seen some of these shows. On the Travel Channel, History Channel, Discovery Channel, the Science Channel, that used to be just the Science Channel, and the History Channel when it was just the History Channel. When they started to kind of drift into the sensational kind of stuff, and then this, I can't tell you the name of the show that I watched because they're just all kind of a blur. But they were talking about this one particular remote viewer who they believe was poisoned and killed. And then they brought up Edgar Cayce, who that's actually an interesting study as far as like psychic phenomena goes. Although I would say that much like Nostradamus, you can read into some of the things that he posts in there with his writings. You could read into that pretty easy. You know, and find something that looks the same, only it's tied into our time, you know. Although I am interested in finding out what's underneath the Sphinx's foot, you know, if that's where the Hall of Records is, where the Egyptians stowed all their forbidden knowledge, unless it was cleaned out by the papacy and the Catholics back in the Crusades. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But I think psychic phenomena, I think psychic ability is something that can be cultivated. I think that you can tune into your gut instincts because you basically have two brains. You have the one, you know, behind your eyes, and you've got the one in your stomach. And it's like a holdover from dinosaur days, you know, where dinosaurs have a hind brain, you know, and humans have kind of the same thing. We have a forebrain, which is where our head is, and then we have like this midbrain, which is attached to our stomach. And that's where they were saying that, I remember reading that, trust your gut and that sort of thing. Cause it's, you know, it's like a second brain and you pick up all kinds of weird stuff there. And it also is a great source. They say that's where most of your anxiety comes from, is your midbrain. And it's usually dietary, which I had a pretty good laugh about that too. It's like, oh great. Then that means the depression is, you know, this is the reason why people eat. And they eat their feelings and then they get fat. And I got to tell you, being fat, there are worse things in the world. Because, I mean, you're harder to kidnap, and aliens have a hell of a time getting you on board their ship. And I tell you, you know, these little guys, you know, they got these little openings and little doors and stuff like that. And if you're too fat to get on board the ship, they don't really want anything to do with you. You know, you just like, they're like, you know what, we can do this here. And we just probe this guy right here and then just, you know, take a to-go bag and then just head back up to the ship. Just do that. You know, want to abduct somebody? Let's go to the Vegan's house down the way. The guy has like 4% body fat and weighs like a buck 05. Let's go get that guy. Wait, he doesn't have a family history of alien abductions? Oh, jeez. You know, could you imagine the conversations and some of the aliens that they would, you know, they must be having on board this sort of thing? And imagine if an alien is listening to this. I bet you they're like, oh my God, he's so right. You know, we hate probing fat people. Which is okay, because you know, fat fills and wrinkles, and I look remarkably young. But all kidding aside, between the whole paranormal thing, I think when you talk about it and you're serious about it, I think that's actually what frightens people the most, is that because you are one of those people that thinks contrary to the rest of people. You know, they're like, oh, you've got ideas that really should be largely forgotten, because those ideas could be dangerous, especially if, you know, you're right. I've seen some weird stuff. I've had some stories told to me, and I've seen some things that I honestly, to this, you know, for the rest of my life, I will never be able to understand. And I'll tell you, this is the one thing. This is the one thing about ghosts, because I'm kind of all over the map here. Speaking of ghosts, my ex, who has been passed away for some time, she and I, we actually went to an open house that was a house that was for sale. And it was a friend of ours, or a friend of hers. Well, it was a friend of ours. Then it became a friend of hers after we split up. And but anyway, her name was Kim. And her sister lived in this house with her police officer boyfriend. And they had a dinner party. It was a big party, actually, with lots of drinking and stuff like that. And I remember this photo album coming out, because Diane was there, and some other people were there, or maybe she wasn't. I don't know. Where I'm going with this is that at the party, in the photos, there's this woman sitting on a couch, and next to her is another woman sitting on the couch with a great big smile on her face that looks creepy as hell, and she's pointing a finger at her. And nobody knew who that woman was. And then, as it would turn out, if you look really close, she had no feet. You look at this photo, and you see this woman. She's sitting kind of cross-legged, and she's got, you know, she got a drink in one hand and pointing the finger at the other. And then you notice something else. She has no eyes. And the smile, it looks like it's drawn in. You know, like it's a cartoon. Kind of a big, goofy, scribbled-in mouth, you know. So it was like something trying to pretend to be somebody. Trying to be a person, you know, at this party. And nobody saw anybody on the couch. And I remember seeing this photo, and I have to tell you, when you see something weird like that on TV, it's like, oh, that's kind of creepy. But when you see it in real life, like a real photograph, a color photo, and then if you look at the photo long enough, you start to see all the things that are missing, and then you're like, holy shoot, you know, it's crazy. I don't have any photos like that, but I have some experiences like that in my house. Which brings me kind of full circle back to the psychic thing and the dream thing. Is that I think these things that are unseen in our world I think that's how they can converse. I think they can prey on you. I think that's how they get in. I think that's how they get into your life, or they get into your world. And I think that's how a lot of folks how they react to these types of stories. It just frightens the hell out of them because they don't want any of that in their lives. Then, of course, you got the other side of the coin. You got all these people that are like, oh, yeah, I love the Ghost Hunter shows. God, I would really like to go into a haunted house. And God, I would really like to do all these things. And I would like to hunt aliens. And I would like to, you know, when you're actively looking for this stuff, you will never find it. It's the weirdest thing. You know, you see all these people out there, they're hunting Bigfoot left and right. They're never going to find him. It's always that guy that's like minding his own business. I'm out here fishing. And next thing you know, look over, there's Bigfoot. You know, he brought me some tacos. You know, it's the same thing. It's like these guys, you know, they go out to the desert. They're actually going camping or whatever. They're going fishing. There's a big extraterrestrial thing. These guys went fishing and all of a sudden, boom, abducted by aliens. The people who go out there and see Nessie, you know, the Loch Ness Monster, you know, they didn't go there looking for it. They just ran across it one day. And there's a lot of that, too. It's like the ghosts and, you know, well, I mean, I think exorcists actually, well, no, now that I think about it, when somebody goes through some kind of demonic possession, somebody actually has to call somebody else, and then they have to go through like this vetting process to make sure the people aren't crazy, and then the priest shows up, and then he does the exorcism. So I think that's about the only time that people go looking for those things, because, you know, they know where to look. I thought about how my podcast must sound amongst the people that actually know me. And for some, this is not new territory because they know that I'm nuts. I guess, let me take that back. I'm not crazy. I just think a lot differently. And I'm a little more open-minded about certain things. So I edited it out, probably about 4 minutes of me going down a rabbit hole that I by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, you know what? This makes absolutely no sense. Let me just dial it back a little bit. I am a pretty open-minded guy, and I do have some point that I will shut the door on certain ideas. And I think that's a good thing when you're an objectivist. You try to see everything objectively as much as you can, and have all of the evidence and all of the things that, you know, make things truthful or make things fiction. And then, you know, you're able to proceed accordingly, especially when it comes to the paranormal stuff. And I'm interested in just the true stuff. I'm interested in the experiences people have. And then that's it. You know, I'm not really interested in the whole merchandising end of it. That's, you know, if you have the answers, then you can start asking new questions, not spend a lot of money trying to get the simple answers and never finding out anything, and doing that for, you know, God knows how many seasons before it starts looking like, okay, this is going absolutely nowhere because they want it to go nowhere. And I think that is what the powers that be do. They make the UFO, ghost, paranormal stuff, they make it look like all they do is spin their wheels. I would wager that if you were to talk to actual ghost hunters, like the real ones that don't have a show, the ones that actually have some interesting stuff, you know, the ones that go to symposiums and present their stuff on the paranormal, and who are fairly learned people with a certain amount of technological savvy, you know, those are the people I'd be interested in talking to. not the people that are on TV already. I want to talk to the people that are actually doing, you know, the heavy lifting, the real stuff. And I know that those people exist. It's finding them. You know, that's the real trick. It's finding them. And because those are the people I would love to talk to and interview. If I had the opportunity, if they were to suddenly reveal themselves, I would absolutely love to spend a half an hour talking to them. Because there are things that I've experienced that I can't quantify. And if I could, I definitely would. If I knew how, that would be a fantastic way to quantify some of the things. So that way I can either look at it and go, okay, this is just, you know, how I dealt with something, or this is something that actually really happened. And there are plenty of folks out there that are actually, like I said, engaged in this stuff. And like I was saying, you know, it's those people that are actually doing meaningful work and not spinning their wheels, because they're actively looking for the truth, and they're not getting paid a paycheck in order to obscure it or to hide it. So this show is going to be one of those shows about actually talking to people that are really there, you know, in the mix, looking for these things. And so anyway, on that note, I'm going to close out this show, because I have reached the end of my tether today with a lot of things. And I'm hoping that the next show that I do will be a little bit more entertaining. And because I'm working out the bugs so that I can have guests come on. And as a matter of fact, as soon as I get done with this, I'm going to try something new and talk to a friend of mine. And then we're going to start putting some stuff together for a better version of this show. So I appreciate everything that you've endured. I appreciate you listening to me this evening. And looking forward to Wednesday's show, which I hope will be up on a Wednesday. So, good night and good luck.